Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope instead. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Oh,
There is a grave they tried to hide. This precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed.
Fantastic, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We want to have a special prayer. We got a couple of members in the church here that have some serious things going on, and we want to have prayer with them this morning. We ask Brother Ricky Mahan and his family, if you would, to come up. Miss Beth Kilgore and her family, if you would, come up. Brother Jason Dutton, if you can, if you want to come up. And if you're here this morning as we have this prayer, And you need special prayer, you're welcome to come up too. Certainly not to exclude anybody, but these folks have some serious things going on that they're concerned about. We want to ask our deacons, if you would, to come up and gather around. And we want to pray over them. Brother Tommy Bruce has got some anointing oil here. We're going to anoint them. And we're going to ask God that he'd put his hand on them in a special way. Because, you know, the Bible tells us, if we come before the Lord and our hearts where we're supposed to be and we pray, he hears us. And God cares about what's going on in our lives. And we're just going to call on the name of the Lord that he would move. And we're going to pray over them. I'm going to ask Brother Bruce Dutton, if you would, to lead us in this prayer. After Brother Tommy anoints them. And then Brother Tommy Bruce, if you would, to pray behind Bruce Dutton. And then I'll close us in prayer. And y'all pray with us.
World that's lost in darkness, for the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind and searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old. There is a remedy for every sin-sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and his name is Jesus Christ. For the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, the discouraged and dismayed, for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wrong, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong. There is a remedy sin sick soul, there is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For every tribe and every nation, every color, every race, for every tongue and every language, for every time and every place, there's an answer to the question. There is love for all the hate. There's a healer for the dying. He's the life, the truth, the way. Every sin sick soul, there is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
A remedy. I'm going to try to bring to you this morning just what's on my heart. That's all I know how to do. Sometimes I come in here and I've got several thoughts, but it's about what the Lord wants. You know that? What goes on in the house of God is about what God wants. And that's what we ought to seek. We ought to seek that in anything that we do, any ministry that we have, anything that we're involved in this church. It's about what God wants. I'm glad to be here this morning. I've enjoyed this singing. I was thinking about that song. I was thinking about that This Blood this week too, Brother Tommy. I'm glad I'm not the only one. And I was thinking about that song that Miss Mandy sang. First time they sang that, it was after I preached. And then they sang that and they expected me to calm down. I just got fired up and I was ready to preach again. But you know, it don't take much to get me excited. I was going down the road this week and they were talking about this gentleman that lost his job, this fire chief in Atlanta. And, you know, he wrote a book and he wrote what he believed and then he backed it up with the Word of God. He had scripture in the book and, you know, you don't have to read it if you don't want to. You don't have to come to church if you don't want to. Then we had a mayor that said, well, you know, it's not about religion. Well, yeah, it is. It is about, it's about the Word of God. And they had on the talk show, and the guy called in, and he just got me fired up. Now, folks, I can go down the road, and I get to amening. I said, preach, brother, preach. I was saying amen to this guy, and he was on the radio. And he said, you know, they'll get involved with everything to defend. But here's a man that needs his people, and they won't defend him. And he said, you know, obviously they're not preaching the gospel, or else the gospel has lost its power. And I'm going to tell you in a minute the message title, but you know what he said? He said, the gospel has not lost its power. Do you realize this morning the gospel has not lost its power? When we listen to these songs this morning and they're talking about the blood and they're talking about there is a remedy and they're talking about there is a redeemer, we serve the same God. Now, if you would stand with me, let's go over to the book of Romans and I want to read one verse to you out of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and then I'll let you be seated. We'll pray and let you be seated. But I want to tell you this morning that the gospel has not lost its power. Doesn't do me any good to try to preach something other than what God gives me and is laid on my heart. Because here's kind of the way I look at it, and this is the way that I believe God's called me. I preach where the fire is at. And I had a man try to tell me one time, he said, you need to preach this way, and this is what you need to do. And I looked at him, I said, I can't follow man. I have to follow God. And if I come in here one Sunday and I preach the same thing you heard last Sunday, the only thing I can tell you is I don't, they're not from me, they're from God. I just preach what God's saying. So in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, here's what Paul said. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Just that one verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for letting us be in your house. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm thankful that you just let me be a part of what you're doing. Lord, I realize that in myself, Lord, I'm absolutely nothing, and I come humbly before you, asking you today to have your way, Lord, in this service. We thank you for being in our midst and for moving already the way you have. And God, I pray especially if there's anybody here, Lord, that's lost, that they'd be convicted, Lord, and they'd want to be saved. If there's anybody here, Lord, that's troubled, that they'd realize, Lord, that you are powerful and you can still help and you can still redeem. Lord, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified in everything that's done in this church, in this service. Every word that comes out of our mouth would be as for edification, to lift up our brothers and sisters and, Lord, those that need to be saved. Lord, we ask these things, trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to tell you this morning that the gospel has not lost its power. Well, what is the gospel? The gospel, the word, actually means good news. Okay, and there's still good news to a world that needs a Savior. And what Paul's saying here, he said, I'm not ashamed of it because it's the power of God unto salvation. And what is the gospel? It's the story of Jesus Christ. You know, I went down the road the other day and I saw a church sign, and this is what it said. It said, "We love to tell the story." And I thought, boy, I like that. Well, what's the story? The story is the story of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's the greatest story that's ever been told. You know, we had a couple of weeks ago, we had a service and we were giving some quotes. And, you know, there's no other person or being that's ever walked on the face of this earth that's had the impact on society that Jesus Christ had. You can go back and you can see the great kings and you can see the great kingdoms. Do you know that kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall? Even in our own nation is great. You know, I was listening to somebody on the radio this week and they were saying, you know, we have the greatest military in the world and we have the greatest this in the world and we have the greatest that in the world. You know why we have it? It's because God's give it to us. Okay, and it doesn't take very little but for people to forget where their blessings come from, for God to say, I'm going to show them who's boss. You know, God showed a lot of them who was boss. We look back in time and we see the great kings that God allowed through his divine ability to allow to come into Israel and take them captive. But then we read times when they were obedient to God, no enemy that came against them could prosper because of God. Jesus Christ, the greatest story that's ever been told. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through verse number 4 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Do you know that that last verse, that 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 4, is a verse that the Awana have to learn? And they say it over and over and over. And you know, I know I've had to learn them too, by the way. Because every verse my kids learn, I learn them. You know, when they start out in the cubbies, you learn a little piece of it. And then they add to it and it gets bigger. But that verse right there, it's over and over because that's the gospel. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Do you know that the critics come against us and they say, well, you know, when you read the Bible, you're reading a book that supports a book. And they call that circular reasoning. But I want to tell you that this book was written over a period of about 2,000 years. With many different authors in three different languages, because God divinely put it together when holy men of old were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. They penned the words that came from God. The gospel. The reason it supports and the scriptures have come true is because when the prophets were moved on and they were told that something was going to happen, God already knows ahead of time. You know, and I want to tell you something. It works. It worked when I got saved. It worked when my dad got saved. It worked when the pastor that was preaching when my dad got saved, got saved. I was sitting down this week and we had a job that we're looking at, and it was Inman Yards. And it was down in that area, and I said, you know, that's a rough area. And they said, oh no, it's not. They began to tell me about how that these condos were coming up and all these big expensive buildings were being built, and how that people are moving in and the area is changing. And obviously from looking at what we were about to work on, it's obviously a big old expensive building. And you know, when my mind began to go back to the first church that I can ever remember was Inman Yard Baptist Church, that sat right up against the railroad tracks, which was the place that my dad was ordained to be a deacon before he was ever called to preach. And I begin to think about and reminisce in memory in my mind of all the years that have gone by, all the people that have come through that church, all the people that come through the church that I grew up in. And I want to tell you today, the God that we served back then is not changed. He's still powerful. He's still God, and He's still on the throne. And I want to tell you this morning, first thing, the reason the gospel has not lost its power is because God's power is not limited. You know, we can limit power on this earth. And I want to tell you something. Folks, that's just like that. Something could happen in this country and all the power that we have would be greatly diminished. And they call it a flash that happens that takes out all of the electronics. Do you know if all of the electronics were taken out, your cell phone doesn't work, all of your computers doesn't work, do you know that the majority of the military force that we have would be out of business? Because everything that we have, it's not that strong armor-wise, but it's dependent on computer power. But I want you to know that the God that we serve, it won't affect Him, because He is not limited by time and space, and He's in everything. He's in the past, the present, the future. He has no limit. He's God. Sometimes I'm trying to talk to people and explain, and they say, well, I just don't understand this. I just don't understand that. I don't know why God doesn't do this. I don't know why God doesn't do that. Sometimes we just need to say, He's God. And He can do anything that He wants to do because He's God. And if you don't accept Him as God, you'll always have questions. And you'll never be satisfied till you accept the fact that He is God. His power is not limited. His power is not limited, number one, because He is able. I like this verse, Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25. It says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know what God's doing right now? I believe, based on what I understand in Scripture, He's sitting up there by God the Father. And every time one of His children come forth, He said, I died for them. He said, I paid the price for that one. You can do what they're asking because I know they're not worthy, but I did it for them. His power is not limited. There's nothing that anybody will face in their life that God cannot help them with, because He's God. He can save them to the uttermost. Sometimes a problem you and I have, we get involved trying to help somebody, and we start trying to help them, and we start out with good intentions till we find out too much about them, and then all of a sudden it's more than you can handle. I want you to know, it's never more than God can handle. He's God. He's all powerful. You know, He's able. His power's not limited. His power's not limited because the forces of nature obey Him. You know, we're trying to still figure it out. You know, I'm listening to them on WSB, and they said, we're going to have a cold winter. You know, it's hard to understand why in Georgia you have to have an emergency cold weather kit. But I want to tell you, last year I learned my lesson. I spent 9.5 hours driving home. I left at 12 o'clock. You know, you say, well, that's bad. I'm one of the lucky ones. You know, not everybody got home. You know, I went out there in my basement right now, and I'm about to put it in the truck. I got candles. I got flashlights. I got a blanket. I got a set of coveralls. And you know, we can do everything that we think we can do with our technology, and we can't control one thing. Not one. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. It says, and he saith unto them, this is when Jesus told them, get in a boat. We're going to the other side. Okay? He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, listen to this, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And people want to say the gospel's lost its power. I want to tell you the gospel's not lost its power. People just need to hear it. People need to understand that the way and the answer is Jesus. He rebuked the winds and the sea, and they had to obey him. Do you know that the storms of your life, they're the same way? God is in control. Do you know, not only do the forces of nature obey him, but the forces of darkness have to obey him. You know, in Luke chapter number 8, there's the story of the Gadarene demoniac. And the scripture says that this man was so bad that he would cry, he would cut himself. He lived in the tombs and the graveyards. And he was out there and he was naked, and they bound him with chains. But when they bound him, he would break the chains, he would break the fetters, and he would run loose, screaming and howling. And you know, where was his family? You ever think about that? Where was mama and the kids that were probably at home? And when people asked about him, they say, we've done everything we can do. Not everything. Because there was a day when Jesus come walking down the road. And when Jesus come walking down the road and he seen him, I want you to know that the demons recognize who God is. In James chapter 2 verse 19, it says, thou sayest that there is one God. Doest thou well, the devils also fear and tremble. Just because you believe, I want to ask you, is he your God? Amen. The demons walk by. Or Jesus walked by, and the demons looked at him. And the Lord rebuked them and said, come out. And they said, why comest thou here to persecute us before the time? Because they recognized him as God and his ultimate authority. And when he spoke to him, they had to get out of that man. He asked them their name. They said, Legion, for we are many. Many demons came out. And you know, demons want a warm body. Because they're cold-blooded. I ain't got time to give you all that, or I'll never get done with this. But they want a warm body. And they said, let us go into the swine. And they went into the swine, and they ran down the hill, because even the hogs didn't want them in them. I want you to know, we serve a God that the forces of darkness have to obey him. When I face something in my life, here's where I'm at. When I get to the end of my understanding, I fall to my knees and I say, God, I cannot do it, but I know that you can. I know that you can. Why? Because my God's power is not limited. If he saved me, folks, listen, if he saved you, he can walk with you through your life, and there's no anything that you'll ever face that's too big for him, because he's God. His power is not limited. I'll give you number two. The gospel's not lost its power because God's love is not limited. You know, when I tell somebody I love them, you know, it's kind of like I heard somebody, and it was mentioned the other day when we had prayer. The brother Keith saw someone and he said, you know, we've been praying for y'all. Y'all are on our prayer list. And the lady made a comment. She said, well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, a lot of people say they're praying for you, but they're really not. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I love you in passing, but do you really feel like they do? You know, I say I love pizza. And then I say, I love you. You don't know what I mean. And that's something that I've worked with my kids to give them an understanding. But I want to tell you something. When God says he loves you, what did he say? He said, I love you. Amen. He hung on a cross and he died for your sins. He said, I love you. Nobody, no greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. His love is for everyone. You see, Paul wrote, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, we know that the Jews were God's people, but we also know that the scripture says, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. And he told Peter, when Peter had a hard time going over to preach to Cornelius' house, he said, that I've cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. Because God said, I'm going to send something that'll be enough to save the whole world. That anybody who'll accept it or hear it. You know, I want to tell you, God's not the power, the gospel has not lost its power, but people have lost the desire. They lost the desire for the gospel. His love's for everyone. And his love, folks, is greater than all our sin. You know, sometimes I wonder, when I begin to think about the grace of God and the love of God, I wonder sometimes how people can look at others the way that they do. It's almost like I heard a story of a young pastor. He was associate pastor at a church, and in the church there was a young lady there that got saved by the grace of God. And when she got saved by the grace of God, God began to work in her life, but she had a terrible, terrible past. See, she had been involved with drugs and running drugs and trafficking drugs and prostitution and all manner of sin, and the things in her life were terrible, and people knew the story. And they would allow her to sit in certain places and do certain things. But one day it came to pass that the associate pastor and this young girl, they began to get very close, and they fell in love. And they were going to be married. And people in the church stood up and they said, we just don't think that this girl and her past is good enough for our associate pastor to marry. And they actually had a meeting and they were talking before the church and said, this girl just sat there and wept. And the associate pastor, he walked up and he said, let me speak to you. He said, what's on trial here? It's not what she's done or not done. But what you're saying is, what's on trial is the blood of Jesus. You're saying that the blood of Jesus is not sufficient. Now I want to tell you something, folks. We need to read the Word of God and understand that the Bible teaches us that whosoever is guilty of one is guilty of all. And if we understand that, it'll make us thankful for the grace of God. It's like the song that says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. How about amazing grace? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. A lot of people don't like the next line. They say, I'm not that. What does it say? Say that saved a wretch like me. Do you know that you're lost this morning? You might say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good citizen. I'm not this. I'm not that. If you're lost, you're wretched. I heard Chuck Colson speaking at a men's breakfast one time, and he was asked to leave. He said, if you're here this morning and you're not saved by the grace of God, or even if you are, he said, I want you to understand that you are more like Adolf Hitler than you are like Jesus Christ. He said, around the room, cups were knocked over. People were fidgeting and he could hear things rattling because people don't understand. You got to understand your state and understand that God's love went all the way down to where you are. And when you couldn't reach any higher, he reached, no matter how far it was, he reached down and he took your hand. Because God's love is greater than all your sin. No matter how far down he has to reach, he can reach it. The gospel's not lost its power because God's grace and God's mercy is not limited. Now you think about this for just a minute. His mercy endures to all generations. It's not just those before us. Now folks, if I thought that what I experienced when I was as a youth was gone, I'd quit. I don't think God's quit. I don't think God's quit on us. I think God wants to do something. I think God wants to save people. I think God wants to send His Spirit. I think He wants to pour it out on His people. And yes, I do think you can live for God in this day and time. It says, Psalms 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. And in 106:1 says, praise ye the Lord, and O give thanks unto Him, for He is good and His mercy endureth forever. His mercy reaches the lowest hell. In Psalms, verse number 86 and verse 13, it says, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." You know, sometimes I think the problem is in America and in society in general, we're so blessed we don't see our need for a Savior. But if you've ever talked to somebody that felt like they were in the lowest hell, it's like the song that was pinned on the prison wall that's written in your red songbook where a man was in his psychiatric ward and he began to talk about the love of God. He said, if the oceans were filled with ink, he said, I couldn't write the love of God. I just couldn't write it all. But you got to understand that. And folks, His grace, not only is His love greater than all your sin, but His grace is. Now, I need grace. What is grace? That's when I do something and I really should get it. I really know it's coming. But He's merciful. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's something I don't deserve. That's what Christ did for us. You see, the gospel's not lost its power. Not only because God's power is not limited, but folks, I want to tell you that God's word has not lost its power. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this verse, I like this verse. It says, "The word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, as it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Now, you can take this book right here, and you can go to work, and you can lay it on the corner of your desk. I guarantee people will walk in, and they'll walk around it like it's a rattlesnake. I've done it. I put it out on the corner of my desk one time. People walked in, it's like that right there. They look at it, and they come around here. You know why? Because it comes right to where they live, and it talks about them. You know, if God's word is true, it's true about you. That's why people don't want the word of God in their life. Because if it's true, it's true about them. Folks, God's word is true. And you know why this man lost his job? Because God's word pricks to the heart. It gets right down to where you live. And it just speaks to you. And it lets you know why. Because it's alive. It's alive. You see, because God's word is still the standard for righteousness. There is no standard for righteousness anywhere else. You know, there are other religions, but they don't lead to heaven. You know, it's not a pyramid program to where you got this side and you got this side and you got this side and all of them lead to the top. The Bible teaches us there's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's not all these other ways. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. It's one way. So it's still the standard. It's still the pattern for life. You know, I found the more that I surrender myself to it, the better my life is. Because it tells me in God's word what kind of man I'm supposed to be. Tells me how I'm supposed to treat my wife and how I'm supposed to love her as Christ loved the church. Tells me how that I'm supposed to raise my children and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It tells me what kind of person I'm supposed to be at work. It tells me how I'm supposed to respect authority. It tells me what I'm supposed to do in my life if I just receive it. And it's not changed. It's not lost its power. And I want to tell you this. This word still has power to transform lives. God can still save. God still has the ability to reach down and radically change. You know, if you've been saved, you've been radically changed. Okay? You've been made alive spiritually. It still has power to transform. You see, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it is the power of God unto salvation." And it's to everyone. It's to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. It's to anybody who will receive it. See, I'm not ashamed of it because I know that it changes lives. Peter said, when the Lord questioned him, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, well, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, if we look at history, we see that Paul, actually, according to history, was beheaded as a martyr. History teaches us that Peter was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to die as my Lord died. John the Beloved was beaten and exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He wrote the book of Revelation. Here's what he said. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now, I began to read through that book, and I saw a lot of the things that he wrote. You know, some, I'm just going to be honest. Some of it I understand. Some of it I say, Lord, one day I'm going to know. But when I look, I tell you what I see in that book. I see a God and a King who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings that's going to return. And when he returns, he's looking for people that believe in him and trust in him. And that same God still has the power to change people's lives today. The gospel has not lost its power. Now, what do you say? I'm going to ask them to come on and get ready with a song. Don't you think about it. What's the gospel mean in your life? What have you done with the good news of Jesus Christ? You see, it's good news, and it's just like someone who really needs help. But in order for it to be gospel in your life and good news, you have to accept it. See, the gospel's not lost its power. We've just come to a point and a place in life and time to where people have just lost the desire. They say, I'd rather have the things of this world than have God. I've already said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Everything that the devil has, everything, is a counterfeit for what God really wants you to have. You know, when you're out there in the world and you're experiencing the pleasures of the world, and the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it also says that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Here's the question. Would you rather be the servant of sin or be the servant of a living God? See, I found the more that I trust Him, the more that I serve Him, the more I want to trust Him and serve Him. I found Him to be a good Lord. I want to ask you to stand to your feet as they sing this song, a great song. If God has spoke to your heart this morning, I'll tell you what God wants to do. I'll tell you what God wants to do. God wants to change your life. God wants to help you with all of your situations. God wants to help you with all of your troubles. God wants to be with you. He wants you to cry out to Him. God wants a relationship with you. And if you're here this morning and you are saved and you're struggling, all God says is, come unto me. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. And this is what sometimes I don't think people understand. You don't go through life and everything's always the way you want it. You're going to carry a yoke. It's just, what yoke are you going to carry? Some people are burdened down under the yoke of sin. Some are burdened down under the yoke of trouble and of worry. When the Lord says, take my yoke, follow me, carry my cross. Amen. You're here this morning, God speaks to your heart. This is your opportunity. I want you to know we'd love to see somebody get saved or gets closer to the Lord this morning as they sing.
The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus can cleanse your deepest sin. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood. Friend, Jesus died and rose.
rise again so that you could know the joy of sins forgive.
Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus can cleanse your deepest sin.
Hidden sin you tried to cover deep within, and everybody thinks your life is in control. You can run, but you can't hide. God sees everything inside, but forgiveness waits at the foot.
See somebody get saved every service. I really would. I really would. But you know, one thing I never want to be accused of is not preaching the gospel.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're living in a world today where, you know, where people getting to the point they don't want it.
That's right.
I want it. I think y'all want it. Y'all here this morning?
Amen.
And you enjoying this good singing and this good praising and this good worshiping. And don't we have a lot of blessings here? Amen.
Amen.
We're going to open the doors of the church. We'll get them to sing a song here and just do one verse of it, and then we're going to have conference here in a minute, but we're going to try to move through that as respectfully and quickly as we can. Do it the right way. But we want to open the doors, and here's the point. God's got his hand on his church. God's blessing. I look over here at these youth, and I just can't wait to hear y'all sing again. I can't help it.
Amen.
And when Sarah and Savannah got up here and played, she's challenging these guys over here. Y'all gonna have to start. Y'all gonna have to practice. That's all there is to it. I see that right now. But God's blessing here. If you want to be a part of what God's doing, we'd love to have you. And this is your opportunity to join the church.
Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. He is Lord of all humanity, and He rules by His word. He is King of all the ages, the first and the last. I'm His child by mercy, forgiven from my sinful past. He is a dying Savior, bruised, shamed, and despised. He is the great Redeemer, giving victory in life. He is the risen conqueror, setting my captive spirit free. And I love Him, yes, I love Him, because He first loved me. When I see who He is, I realize what I am. And I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far and place me in His hand. My ears have heard the story, but now my eyes have seen His glory, and I can't turn away from His grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
He's my friend and gentle shepherd, my shelter from the storm. He is closer than a brother, and the rock I lean upon. He is my Abba Father, my confidence, my love. I'm depending on His goodness, lost but for His blood. When I see who He is, I realize what I am, and I place me in His hands. My ears have heard the story, but now my eyes have seen His glory, and I can't turn away from His grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved. When I see who He is, I realize what I am, and I wonder why a holy God would ever reach down so far and place me in His hands. My ears had heard the story, but now my eyes have seen His glory, and I can't turn away from His grace. I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
I'm incredibly, miraculously saved.
It's probably my favorite song they sing here. I like that song. Thank y'all for singing that. Thank you for coming this morning. We're really glad you're here. God's been good. Amen. We're going to take about a 10-minute break, then we're going to come back in for conference. Shake hands with one another.